Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Odessa American, Sunday, April 24th. This is the opinion page, Letters to the Editor. Vote yes for the ECISD bonds. My name is David Simpson, and I have been a lifelong Odessan. Going to public school in the 70s and 80s, then off to university, and life as a freshly minted adult. I returned to Odessa in 1992 and joined my longtime family business, Jim's Tall and Big Men's Shop, focusing on the future. In that time, we as a community have seen many ups and downs, but we have always been growing. Today, I felt the need to implore all the citizens of our city and Ector County to support both items on the upcoming ECISD bond election. Proposition 1 is for the funding of infrastructure repairs, building renovations, and technology upgrades throughout the entire district. This incentive is aimed at the entirety of the school district, affecting all ECISD students now and in the future. It also includes a badly needed state-of-the-art career and technical education center. Proposition 2 is for the creation of a new comprehensive academic high school in response to our current high school level overcrowding and future population growth trends. Ector County has not built a new full-service academic and extracurricular high school since the Eisenhower administration. OHS and PHS have been expanded and redesigned multiple times with the addition of portable outbuildings to expand services to hold, on average, 2,750 to 3,000 students from 9th to 12th grade. As a school district, we are currently averaging more than 4,000 students for each of these schools. We currently have 38 teachers between both high schools who have no existing classroom space. They must set up in classrooms not in use during another teacher's conference period, find areas in cafeterias, libraries, and even hallway alcoves to convene and teach classes. This overcrowding does not create a positive teaching environment, and it has serious negative impacts on teaching efficiency, classroom discipline, and the educational and social environment for the students themselves. I know increasing taxes is never a popular idea, but this is not a fee or punishment. This is an investment into the lives of our children and the future of our community. Everyone knows that the greatest way to improve socioeconomic growth and reduce poverty is through effective education and preparations for adult opportunities. By increasing the taxable rate by approximately $12 per month on every $100,000 of valuation, we are brightening the future for not only ourselves now, but the future of the entire Permian Basin. I will close with a lesson my mother and father imparted to me when we started our business in downtown Odessa in 1973. They told me the people of West Texas are strong and caring and have always looked to each other to pave the way for the future. These people have always risked investing in themselves and their community, knowing that they and their children will reap the greatest rewards going forward. Signed, David Simpson, Odessa. Educator supports both bond propositions. I'm Carla Byrne, Executive Director for Career and Technical Education at ECISD. But writing this letter as a private citizen of Odessa who understands the dire need. CTE is housed at Frost, a 72-year-old bakery. CTE portions of New Tech Odessa, NTO, the Ag Farm, OC Sewell Autotech, and all five high schools. In 11 years, Frost has grown from two welding labs to seven. With only two labs then, students were turned away by the hundreds. We divided larger labs in half and moved Autotech to OC Sewell. This was a band-aid. There are 601 welding course requests for 2022-23. All seven instructors have three double blocks daily, capped at 20 for safety, with 60 total students each. Given that, Frost can accommodate 420 welding students. That means turning away 181. We send 15 to 20 of the over-enrollment to OC annually. Frost also houses one construction lab and one auto body lab. NTO is out of space too. The entire upstairs is CTE. 8 health science classrooms. All labs were dismantled to accommodate more students. 1 old home economics room for advanced culinary arts. And 1 fashion design room. Downstairs, C Wing encompasses 2 culinary arts makeshift kitchens, portable burners, very bare bones for intro. 1 early learning future teachers of Odessa classroom, 1 audio-video production lab, and 1 culinary arts classroom attached to 1 commercial-sized culinary arts kitchen for practicum culinary, and 1 student restaurant. While the restaurant has been closed due to COVID, instruction continues daily, plus 10 caterings, 8 Saturday and after-school workshops, and a monthly coffee house with orders delivered. All A and B wings are NTO teachers and students. During NTO's Career Center days, there were only 3 labs with overhead doors. That may have been sufficient for a time, but it certainly wouldn't be now. With 7 current welding labs and a need for 3 more, we could not find 10 areas in which overhead doors could be added. Future programs include process technology, Nasiro, plumbing, cybersecurity, and many more. Our responsibility is to grow Odessa's workforce and grow our students into good neighbors. We need the community's support in order to do that. Signed, Carla Byrne, Odessa. Bond is not needed or wanted. The published letter by Mr. Cotton was a long-winded partisan push to march property owners to the ECISD taxation gulag. While he decried anonymity in social media, he kept anonymous the names of survey and research groups he says support his push for bond approval. The last bond paid for expansion of OHS and Permian facilities in lieu of construction of another campus. This was done for political reasons that have to do with making them each 6A schools for football team status, not improving education of our children. That worn refrain sours the melody of the same tired song that burns our ears. Now, the move to build a third high school campus? Please. And just who will be the recipient of the cash purchase for the new site, eh? Anyone known to us? Why, nobody knows, right? Anonymity is the best policy, eh? Anyone consider road improvements in support of the new site? I'll bet no better than the dopes who didn't think ahead during planning construction then opening of Dr. Lee Buse School at 87th and North Don. No consideration to access improvements to OHS and Permian when they were expanded, was there? Nope. Now all 3 are a more dangerous traffic problem to the students and general driving population. The area's political consideration of what works best for the taxed and the children is woefully deficient. Government, and ECISD is government also, loves stuffing its hands into the pockets of others to spend on projects they can take political credit, pride for in the next step to claw deeper. So, how about that funding of roadside art, eh? Oh, what a wonderful downtown convention center, eh? My, wouldn't it be nicer to have a new county courthouse? And that expansion of Faudry Road couldn't have been foreseen during the development of Parks Bell? Well, what the heck? Odessa did bypass all north of 57th Street, past Schleymeyer Field, past East Hillmont, to annex 86th and all north of it for expansion of tax base. All one need look at is the city limit area map of Odessa to get the point. All the expansions of tax base have funded a study in local government waste and taxpayer abuse. Now, with inflation above 8%, dollar value depreciation is squeezing family budgets even more. Oh, please raise my taxes again. I can't stand relief. Sarcasm, in case you missed it. Signed, Doug Moss, Odessa. The bond is critical for Odessa students. I did not grow up in Odessa, but I have lived here and operated a private business for the last 41 years. I think that qualifies me as an Odessan. My wife and I raised three boys that went through the ECISD system, grades K through 12. Interestingly enough, two of my sons attended OHS and the third PHS. So I consider myself a both-sider, not east-sider or west-sider. On May 7th, we have a very important vote in two bonds for ECISD. The first involves monies to repair, update classroom technologies, and build facilities for tech training. The second bond is for the building of a new high school, which seems to be the more controversial of the two. OHS was built in 1945. PHS was built in 1957 when Eisenhower was our president. OHS and PHS were built to house 2,200 to 2,500 students. Today, both schools are housing 4,000 students each. Bettenbaugh Homes has plans to build 10,000 homes in northeast Odessa. Parks Bell Ranch to the east projects 9,000 people living in their east side addition when completed. The Nacero gasoline plant in Penwell will bring in approximately 500 families, and they will attend ECISD schools. But where are we going to put these new students? We cannot pack 7,000 kids in our current two high schools. And if we were to have another oil boom or attract any other large industries and more families, what are we going to do with them? This is the first time in my 41 years here that I felt compelled to reach out to the citizens of Odessa for political reasons. This bond issue cannot be trivialized to simply a west side versus east side issue. The numbers don't lie. It's just a plain fact that we need another high school for the betterment of our children's education. How is a child supposed to be able to learn in a classroom of 40 to 45 kids? We're already behind and playing catch-up. Sure, taxes will go up slightly, $12 per $100,000 appraisal evaluation. I don't like taxes going higher either, but this is for our local children. West Texans tend to be conservative, but I feel we always try to answer the bell when it comes to supporting our children and community. All monies in this bond will go to buildings repair and update. No monies will go to teacher salaries or administrative costs. Please vote yes for both bond issues this May 7th. Early voting starts April 25th. Thanks for reading. Signed, Don Hembry, Odessa. Bond is not needed. This bond issue is premised on overcrowding at Permian and OHS. To me, there is no overcrowding at either. There is a population chart at the end that will prove there is no overcrowding. Both PHS, OHS were historically 10, 11, 12 grades. There were six junior highs, now called middle schools, 7, 8, 9 grades. A few years ago, we spent millions and millions expanding PHS, OHS, preparing for future growth. I believed for expansion to accommodate growth in grades 10, 11, 12. Money well spent, so I was led to believe. Sometime later, I heard they moved ninth graders to PHS, OHS. To me, this was contrived and to artificially create an overcrowding situation leading to this massive current bond issue. Even back in the 80s and 90s, there was always talk of a third high school. Primarily, OHS folks wanted to water down Permian. Some of them were on the school board. It never got off the ground. The proponents in this bond issue want the third high school on the east side. If it passes, there will be another bond issue for the west side new high school. Both new high schools to accommodate 2,500 to 2,800 students. Without the ninth graders, Permian's population enrollment is 2,298, 10, 11, 12 grades, well below their own bottom numbers. OHS population enrollment is 2,664, 10, 11, 12 grades, without the ninth grade. Very comfortable, accommodating learning environment. Right now, PHS total enrollment is 3,530, which includes 1,232 ninth graders. OHS total enrollment is 3,678, which includes 1,014 ninth graders. IMHO, they have taken a very easy solvable problem and made it a financial nightmare. Solution: put the ninth graders back in the middle schools where they will thrive. If we need to expand those or build a couple of middle schools, that's fine with me. I believe that's what the Midland ISD did to solve their problem. PHS population. Current: 3530. 10th, 869, 11th, 772, 12th, 657, 9th, 1232. Population without 9th, 2298. OHS population, current, 3678. 10th, 921, 11th, 925, 12th, 818, 9th, 1014. Population without 9th, 2264. The annual budget for Permian and Odessa High is just over $22 million each, total $44 million. Signed, Jimmy Edwards, Odessa. Bond is crucial for future of Odessa. Kudos to Lisa Wyman and Charles Cotton for their recent stance in promoting the importance of Odessans voting for the future of our public schools. I further wish to commend our school board, our superintendent of schools, Odessans for Education, and all other committee volunteers who have put in tireless and thankless hours of research and study to ensure that transparency of information justifies what is being proposed through the bond election. My late wife, Adela Laria Vasquez, and I provided a total of 79 years of service to public education, with a combined 70 of those years in ECISD. We were both products of this school system, having graduated from Ector High School, Adela, and Odessa High School, Gilbert, in 1967. Our two children and three grandchildren also graduated from the ECISD. As a family, we represented all three Odessa high schools through graduation at Ector, OHS, and Permian. We received quality instruction at all three campuses. I wish to acknowledge and say thank you to all of the classroom teachers that established a foundation of learning for me, especially my elementary teachers. Thank you, Ms. Oletha Phillips, Ms. Jo Flowers, and Miss Gardner at Austin Elementary. Thank you, Miss Vaughn, Mrs. Pat Carney, and Mr. Vincent Becker at Lamar Elementary. I chose to become an educator due to your influence on me that teaching is an honorable profession, one in which we help build character and responsibility in young minds to reach for the stars and become leaders of the future. Thank you to all my teachers in the ECISD. During our employment tenure, Adela and I experienced the ups and downs of the challenges faced in our schools, i.e. building improvements, campus safety issues, and above all, the overcrowded classrooms and hallways. Both Adela and I provided service to all three age group of students, elementary, junior high, and high school, and ended our careers as central office administrators. We experienced firsthand the aforementioned issues that are still true in 2022. This cannot continue. We must provide better working conditions for our educators, especially our classroom teachers, and we must provide safe and academically sound classroom environments for our students. By voting yes to Proposition A and Proposition B, you are investing into the economic growth of Odessa, Ector County, Texas, and all of its future citizens. In closing, I want to encourage and challenge all past and current educators of the ECISD to vote yes for this bond election on May 7th. The ECISD workforce is the largest employer in town, some 3,600 employees strong. The educator employee vote alone will help pass this badly needed election. Another group of citizens I wish to encourage to vote yes are our former students of ECISD. You need to support and invest into a quality future for your children and your grandchildren. Trust me, a yes vote is a positive investment that will pay priceless dividends for all of our citizens. Pay forward for what was done for you as a student. Vote yes on Saturday, May 7th. Signed, Gilbert Vasquez, Odessa. Biden up to his nonsense. Well, Biden is up to his and the Democrats' normal procedures. Following the two shootings in Sacramento, Biden immediately jumped in wanting to ban so-called assault rifles, which were not even used in the shootings. He also renewed calls for universal background checks and a ban on ghost guns. It's hard to know how to respond to idiocy like this. In the first place, assault rifles were not used in either one of the shootings, and all rifles, of which a smaller percentage are assault rifles, are used in fewer murders every year than fists and feet. That's right, more people every year are beaten to death with fists and feet than are killed with rifles. Second, universal background checks will have no, or at best a negligible effect, on keeping criminals from getting guns. Study after study has shown that about 78% of guns used by criminals were stolen, and no background check will catch that. Also, a large percentage of the remainder of guns used by criminals were purchased by legal buyers, then given or sold to criminals. This is called a straw man purchase and is already illegal under federal law. And thirdly, so-called ghost guns are legally assembled by individuals for their own use and are, and always have been, legal. The key words are for their own use, in other words, not for sale, and they are used in an infinitesimally small number of crimes. To sum up, it has been said often that there are approximately 20,000 firearm laws on the books now. The problem is that the government does not enforce them. And since the definition of criminal is someone who does not obey laws, then how will passing more laws help anything? It has been illegal since biblical times to rob, steal, and kill, yet criminals still commit those crimes. When Cain killed Abel, God didn't blame the rock or the club or whatever weapon Cain used. He blamed Cain. Signed, Sandy Milner, Odessa.
Fruits and vegetables provide needed vitamins. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a 62-year-old female. After about 2 weeks, sometimes less, of taking water-soluble vitamin supplements, I experience severe abdominal discomfort or a burning sensation. It feels like I either have a UTI or a vaginal infection. I also experienced the same symptoms taking collagen. It doesn't matter which form or brand of supplements I take. I have tried most. I have gone to my doctor and have had both infections ruled out multiple times. I finally figured out that it was caused by the supplements. When I stop taking them, the discomfort subsides within a week. I have no trouble with fat-soluble vitamins. I have asked every doctor I have seen in the past 30 years about this, and none has heard of it. Their solution is to not take them. As I age, I am concerned that I am not able to support my health with only my diet. Am I getting enough vitamins without supplements if I eat well? SL. Answer: bladder irritation can be due to urine infection, but that's not the only reason. There are many substances that can irritate the bladder, and vitamins are on the list. Water-soluble vitamins, that's all of them except vitamins A, D, E, and K, are often formulated at such high doses that they are rapidly excreted by the kidney and concentrated in the bladder. A list of common irritants compiled by Johns Hopkins is here: https://tinyurl.com/bladder irritant. Most people do not need multivitamin supplements. You can get all the vitamins you need from eating plenty of fresh or frozen fruits and vegetables.
Dear Abby, for Tuesday, April 26th. Teen son struggles after families move to new state. Dear Abby, because of frustration with our state's substantial COVID restrictions and our teen son's struggles with remote learning, we moved to another state. At the time, our son was excited to move. We kept asking him to make sure. However, we are now nearly through the school year, and he still hasn't made new friends. He's depressed and wants to move back. He plays a sport and has a part-time job, but neither has helped. My husband and I love it here. In fact, our son loves everything except his lack of a social life, beyond texting, FaceTiming, and playing video games with his old friends. We work from home, so it would be an option for us to temporarily return so he can finish his remaining 2 years of high school in our original state. He has always been very social, so we are surprised he hasn't made new friends. Should we push him to keep trying? Or is moving back for 2 years the best for his and our mental well-being? Wants the best for him. Dear Wants, moving during one's teens isn't easy, particularly because cliques have already formed. Before packing your bags, talk with your son's teachers and counselors about why he has had problems integrating there. They may be able to offer some important insight. However, if they cannot do that, and you are prepared to make the move when the school term is over, do it. Being treated as an outcast isn't good for anyone's mental health, and while it might benefit your son to learn to adapt, he might do better academically if you put him in a friendlier environment. Dear Abby, I have two grown sons who are 13 months apart. The younger, age 44, constantly and viciously degrades his brother in text messages. His anger level is so high that on Christmas Eve 2 years ago, while he was visiting from a neighboring state with his wife, he declared, "F this family," and stalked out, leaving his wife, my husband, and me stunned. Since then, his wife has divorced him. He's been rear-ended in a car wreck due to road rage, lost his job, and alienated himself from our family. Online research I've done indicates he's narcissistic. Last month, I texted him my concern that he had walked off his job, which unleashed an angry tirade against his brother and me. Everything is our fault, and he badmouths his ex-wife mercilessly. He's an adult, so I can't force him to seek mental help. Is there anything I can do? We no longer communicate, but a mother can't erase love and concern for her child. Worn Out in Wyoming. Dear Worn Out, your son is deeply troubled And for that, you have my sympathy. For the sake of your own mental health, I strongly recommend you consult a licensed mental health professional. You can't diagnose your son's problem, and neither can I. You also cannot force him into therapy before he's ready to admit that he needs it. Please don't wait to do this. I know you are hurting.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.